The Survival Guide to Life, a podcast about how to win in life every second, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, consistently.
Lisa Song Sutton, everyone. How do you find cohesion, Lisa?
Cohesion, not only within your business life, but also within your personal life, and to be able to really kind of mix those buckets and realize that at the end of the day, everyone is sharing a common goal. And once you align those objectives and start listening to yourself, that's when I think things start to get a little bit easier.
Now, when trying to give back, how do you hone in on which organization to give back to? How do you figure out who to align with?
Well, I think anytime that you can engage within your community, the community that you live in, that you work in, that you're a part of, that is always something that's going to be beneficial to not only you, but to society, to the community. And then you end up with these ancillary benefits, right? But, directly speaking to your question, how can you get involved? I think it's something as simple as asking yourself what's important to you. I come from a military family, so, veterans and supporting our military families is something that's very important to me. I'm a huge animal person. I have two corgis. I love dogs in particular. So volunteering with the Nevada SPCA or local animal shelters is something that comes innately and naturally to me, something I enjoy that I'm passionate about. And then, of course, there's a way to align yourself with whichever nonprofit is also doing that same type of work within your community.
Right when you said that, it made me think of the Big Brothers organization. I have two sisters, and all my cousins are females, so they always talk to me. And for any other female aspiring entrepreneur who's listening in on this, what do you tell them to just
focus your mind and then, just say yes and then worry about it later?
Figure out the details later. Exactly. Yeah. So absolutely.
Again, Lisa, any aspiring female entrepreneur who's listening to this, what do you tell them to just get that business out there and start?
I would say, just go for it. I mean, there's going to be a million different reasons for why the answer should be no and why you shouldn't pursue something. And if you make a list of all the hurdles and all the difficulties, that in and of itself can sometimes be a little bit freezing, and it can stop you in your tracks, and you look at this giant list and you say, you know what, this is never going to succeed. Why am I going to try? But I think, at least for me, in my personal experience and the endeavors that I've started, especially the ones in male-dominated industries, I mean, there were certainly a litany of reasons for why I shouldn't have pursued it or why it wasn't the right timing, and yet I did it anyway. And lo and behold, it ends up working, and you find people who believe in you, and you find that support. And that first step is really just going after it and shifting your mindset to say, you know what, instead of focusing on all the things that could go wrong, I'm going to focus on the things that can go right.
With an amazing achievement like winning Miss Nevada, what was your mindset like?
Yes, even with the pageantry in particular, I came in as this kind of underdog. I was the shortest contestant, which is a big deal in the pageant world, and I was the oldest contestant in the Miss division. And so those were strikes against me, these perceived drawbacks. And yet I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to pursue this. I think that I would be a really good ambassador and a good fit for this. I know I can do the job and represent the organization well. So why not? Why not put my best foot forward and give it everything that I have and try my very, very best, and let's see if the judges agree? And they did.
Really cool. With even all those strikes against you, you still came up top. Now, some people would like to say that's luck, but I'd say that's hard work.
Yeah. I mean, they say, right, there's that old adage that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And I've definitely found that to be true in my life time and time again. And I think that as long as you can stay optimistic, even when it's not ideal to stay optimistic, sometimes it's really hard to push through and look for that light at the end of the tunnel. But I think the best entrepreneurs and the most successful ones are the ones that do have some sort of weird eternal optimism within them. And there's that, availability of self-confidence that they can tap into and say, you know what, I've done things in the past that have helped prepare me for this. Let's just give it a go. Let's try.
Now, during the entrepreneurial journey and with the entrepreneurial excitement, or shiny object syndrome, I call it the entrepreneurial ADHD, and just always wanting to just act and start on something or do something new and just go for it. How important is it to have the people around you to say, hold on, stop, slow down for a second, slow down, think about it?
Oh, I think it's paramount. I think most entrepreneurs, we tend to run at 110 miles per hour, right? And we'll just jump. And so you need people around you who have that complementary skill set, who also share that objective of, you know, helping you to look out for the best interest of the company. Hopefully they care enough about you to look out for your best interest as well. And so you need to have other voices around you, whether those are business partners, whether those are just friends, whether they're significant other, family. You do need other voices around you who can say, hey, Lisa, you know, take a step back and just look at this for a second. Or why don't you sleep on it? Read it one more time and sleep on it. Someone to pull you back a little bit. I think anytime you can have a good counterbalance and complementary skill sets around you, that's really when you'll be well balanced in order to achieve optimal results.
Now, with any startup or any new business, how crucial is it to have a business prenup or an operational agreement, like, written down in writing, not just coming together and having ideas together, but actually just having a written document down?
And that's such a huge mistake. I mean, so I started my career in law first before I started my businesses. And I worked in a firm that still does today in Las Vegas, business litigation and business bankruptcy. Business litigation is just a fancy word for when businesses sue each other, or when there's a lawsuit in between partners within one company. So what that means is that you end up with a lot of really smart, talented entrepreneurs who end up with lawsuits. Either they have to pursue litigation, or they're getting sued, or they're suing each other because of conflict. And anytime that you can avoid that, anytime that you can mitigate that, that is going to be in your best interest 100%. One of the best mitigating factors you can utilize is an operating agreement. And it's basically, I mean, an operating agreement is just a fancy word for a rule book or a playbook or a handbook of the company's ownership. The operating agreement is something that can be modified over time, you know, with mutual consent among the partners. And it just lays out the initial roles and responsibilities, and it should talk about in there, you know, what happens if one of us gets hit by a bus tomorrow, or one of us absconds and decides not to work in this company anymore. It should lay out, you know, plans A, B, C, D, E, and F, so that way, when conflict does arise, you do have a concrete contract document that has been agreed upon by all parties involved that you can at least point back to, and hopefully will be able to utilize in your favor. When things get crazy is when there is no operating agreement, there's nothing done in writing, and let's say you and I start a business together, and I thought that you're going to do all of the marketing and the advertising and the graphics and all this stuff because that's your background, right? And I'm going to do all the busy work over here, the business setup and all that stuff because that's my background. And so I just assumed that, and we never agreed to it in writing what the roles and responsibilities are. And then there's constant conflict because I'm upset that you're dropping the ball on the marketing and you're looking at me going, I didn't even know I was supposed to be doing the marketing. So it helps a lot with the communication between partners. And then, like I said, just really having that baseline kind of handbook, rule book of who's doing what within the company. Out that, I just think you open yourself up to so much you know, opportunity for assumptions and interpretation and miscommunication. And that's when you end up with, you know, really unfortunate conflicts and unfortunately lawsuits as well. So, you know, there's an old saying, and I think it's totally true, and I completely ascribe to it. You don't skimp on two things in business, and that's your legal and that's your tax guy or woman. And that's 100% so true. So, you know, I know, especially in the beginning with startups, cost is prohibitive, right? And you're so worried about cash flow, or maybe there's just, you know, it's just such a small amount to start up with. You know, don't skimp. because those are the areas that can end up haunting you later, much later, you know, when you actually do have revenue and there, you know, are, you know, funds to fight over, so to speak, and you're going to end up wasting it, not wasting it, but, you know, you're going to end up spending it on legal fees and all kinds of stuff that end up costing you more on the back end because you didn't care to take the time up front to do it when everything was new and exciting and fresh and, you know, and there was not a worry in the world, right? There was no way to foresee any of the conflicts that you have down the road when everyone's really excited and happy-go-lucky in the beginning of the business. So, you know, I definitely would recommend to everyone, especially as a new startup founder, take the time to sit down with your business partners and talk about, well, what happens if one of us wakes up tomorrow and doesn't want to do this anymore, which seems so unforeseeable in the early days because everyone's so excited and passionate about what you're doing right now. You've got to have those hard conversations because without that, you do open yourself up to, you know, expensive lawsuits. Who knows what road it could go down? So it's best to try to mitigate that in the beginning and kind of nip it in the bud in the beginning.
Now, some people would like to counter that and say that's being negative, but I don't really think it's being negative. It's more being proactive.
There's nothing negative about that. I mean, I think at this stage where there is so much information out there now, I mean, you can literally Google how to start a business, right? Like, there's so many articles, there's so much information out there. It's due diligence, right? And almost like buyer beware. Like if you get to a point where now you're starting a company and you're purposely not taking steps to protect yourself and your partners and your business, then like that's on you, you know? You have to be proactive.
Now, from one real estate expert to another, Lisa, to all the younger generations, how important is it to get in real estate investment from an early age?
Oh my gosh, it's paramount. And real estate, you know, and I've said this time and time again, real estate is one of the best ways to build financial wealth and financial security for you and your family, future family, you know, whatever plans you have in mind. It's one of those things that it's always a necessity, right? We always need a place to live. So whether you're renting or you're buying, right, like you always need to have a roof over your head. And so if you can look at different ways, leverage something that you already need anyway, right, this is a necessity. So, you know, one of my dear friends, they got into real estate investing by their very first property they purchased was a fourplex. This is one building that has four units in it. And she lived in one unit and then rented out the other three. And by renting out the other three, that covered her mortgage. And then I think, you know, maybe $100 or $200 on top, right? And like, she ended up living, you know, so she lives, you know, rent-free or mortgage-free, right? Her mortgage is paid for, makes a little bit extra on top. And yet she's building equity within this property. And that was her first start. So there's so many different ways that you can get in. And I think it's really fun to see now. With the advent of like fintech and where real estate's going, I mean, right now you can get in and you can invest, for example, in commercial real estate portfolios for as little as like $5,000, which is just unheard of. But you have sites now like Fundrise.com, Instalend.com does residential, which is exactly, you know, the same type of model I'm talking about, where you put in a very low amount. It's a very low barrier to entry. And it's a, you know, a property managed portfolio, and you just sit back and you collect your dividends every quarter. So there's so many different ways to get in, and I think just making sure that you're cognizant of that, because real estate is a necessity. You have to utilize it within your everyday life anyway, so why not get a chance to familiarize yourself with it and also turn it into another stream of revenue?
I really do think everyone should get in on this before it's too late. And with everything that's going on now, Lisa, a lot of people like to say there's no opportunity, there's no opportunity. When will things go back to normal? Because of everything that's been happening, it's kind of opened the doors, and in reality, there's been more opportunity.
Oh my gosh, than ever, especially because of tech, right? Like you can start an e-commerce store tonight on Shopify, right? And you don't even have to do it on a computer. You could do it on your phone. You can download the Shopify app And, you know, with a couple clicks of a button, all of a sudden you have an online e-commerce business. So, you know, gone are the days of having to scout for a commercial space and, you know, have a storefront and have really expensive leases. Like, none of that is required now to start a business.
Now, I couldn't help but be really interested when I found out your take on crypto and how Sin City Cupcakes takes crypto as a form of payment. I'm a huge advocate on Bitcoin and I love it. And I just really wanted to go in deeper on your insight and your perspective on it.
So, you know, with crypto, it's so interesting because I had heard of Bitcoin back in 2009 when I was in grad school. And of course, I didn't do anything right. Like, I'd heard about it. I had a couple of classmates talking about it. And I was just like, is that some weird game? Like, what are you guys talking about? You know, and I didn't know. Fast forward a couple of years, I'm living in Vegas. And I hear Bitcoin again. This is like 2012. And I'm like, that's interesting. And so I just started poking around and calling people whose opinions I respect. And I was hearing more and more that, you know, some people were just getting in, just throwing a little play money around here and there. And the idea that it's like decentralized, right? That it's not beholden to, you know, whatever the government has up its sleeve. And I thought there was value in that. And so I love that there's, you know, such a rise with fintech and crypto right now, and especially with a lot of young people and millennials, Gen Z, you know, we're realizing that we're going to have to be in control of everything we have going on, including our finances, right? So you know, you have to play the game, right? Like, fiat is what makes the world go round. So you have to play the game, but there's a way to also exert financial control over other areas that you want to invest in or areas that you're passionate about that, you know, speak to you. And I think supporting cryptocurrency and supporting that community is really, really important because that's absolutely that technology, that blockchain technology, it's the future.
Okay, you went there. Now you touched on something really important, Lisa. I always say this, we have no idea what's going to happen with money, like the actual physical dollar. I always tell my friends and the people around me, either invest in gold or silver or buy Bitcoin.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, and you know, you have some people out there with even within our political atmosphere that, you know, advocate going back to the gold standard. I mean, you know, along the levels of trust and you know, really breaking down, you know, how much is fiat worth and what is our actual currency worth. But I think anytime that you can be diversified, right, whether it's diversified in your currencies, diversified in your businesses, anytime you can be diversified, that's the best way to hedge your bet.
As they say, Lisa, with these trying times, how do you keep going amongst all this adversity?
I think, you know, it's one of those things where it's not like every day is a great day, right? And it's not like every day is 100% and you feel happy and you're excited all the time. Like, that's not reality. That's not real life. But I think if you can make the majority of your days, you know, have some silver lining and try to look for the positive and try to be as aware as possible of your mentality and your health. I think those are really important factors. And you know, with our current political climate, you know, and all the, you know, changes we've had recently, I think what's most important, and it's a large part of why I ran for Congress in the first place, is that we do need more private sector to come off the sidelines. I don't care what party you are. I do think we should have term limits. Our country is supposed to have a citizen legislature. That means you have real people with real jobs and like other responsibilities who are placed in government for a specific period of time to represent their communities and to represent their constituents. We're supposed to have a citizen legislature, and I think the closer we can get back to that, that is what's going to help everyone. That's going to help you know, our communities, and that starts with advocating for more private sector as opposed to career politicians holding elected official seats. And people with diverse backgrounds, right? People who come from, you know, bake shops and real estate brokerages and, you know, mom and pop vendors. I mean, this is real life. These are people who are working day in and day out as everyday hardworking Americans. That's who knows what we as small business owners and entrepreneurs and everyday hardworking Americans face. And that's the type of voice that we need in Washington.
I feel everyone is either muddled with the feeling of what is everyone going to say, and they don't really want to take that step in voting for the right party.
They just vote for whoever they're told to. And with this type of mentality, it might force one to want to take a drink. And speaking of taking a drink and transitioning, really, what was the aha moment for Sin City Cupcakes and Let's Try Alcohol-Infused Baking Goods and scale from there?
Yes, oh my gosh. So with that company, it just started on a whim. So my business partner with that, her name is Danielle. She's a very close friend of mine, and we met in the modeling industry actually back when I was in grad school, still living in Florida. So we met, became great friends. Fast forward, I had moved to Las Vegas. I was working in a law firm, and she was still living in Florida, and we were just catching up on the phone like girlfriends do. And she told me she'd been making these alcohol cupcakes, and I'm like, that's a great idea. And I don't know how to bake, but all I know is that you need to move to Las Vegas and we need to start this company, because this is the place where people are going to come to overspend, overindulge, buy and do things they're not going to buy and do at home. They will buy alcohol-infused cupcakes. And she took a leap of faith and moved across the country, and we started the company in 2012.
What are some of the type of flavors there?
Yeah, so one of our best sellers is the red velvet backseat, and that's a red velvet cake, and the filling inside is a red wine Cabernet filling with a vanilla base. That one's really popular. And then we also have done a custom one. It was a red velvet cake, and then we did a vanilla bourbon filling, cream cheese frosting on top, and then we actually did like a peach syrup that went with it, and it was bomb. It was really good.
Now, I'm sure you guys do, but does Sin City Cupcakes cater or do any huge events?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The majority of our clientele are tourists, usually. And, I mean, it's every reason you can think to come to Vegas, right? It's bachelor parties, bachelorette parties, weddings, special events, conventions, all of those special events, golf tournaments. We get a chance to be part of all of that. So it's really exciting.
Now, to your dog, Kimchi, and that being one of my favorite side dishes, what is your favorite Korean barbecue in Vegas?
Oh my gosh. There's a great one in Chinatown called Hobak, H-O-B-A-K. And it's right at Spring Mountain and Jones, if you're familiar with Vegas, but it's right in Chinatown. It's a great Korean barbecue spot. And they actually are a chain from South Korea, and this location in Vegas is their first foray into the North America, United States market. It's so good. Oh my gosh. I'm hungry right now. It's so good. It's so delicious. And I really like that the interior decor, they make you feel like you're dining al fresco, like in Gangnam or like, you know, in some district in Seoul. It's really fun.
Now I'm really hungry. I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm quite familiar with Vegas. I love staying at the Cosmo.
Oh yeah, of course.
Now with a lot of people going into anxiety and depression and all this other mental health issues, for anyone who couldn't execute in 2020 and really looking for hope and the light in the end of the tunnel, what do you tell them to do coming towards 2021?
Yeah, I mean, you have to be aware and like self-actualized about what are the things you can control, right? Especially within your business. Like none of us can control the fact there's a global worldwide pandemic, right? And unfortunately, you know, some of us live in states where we can't control, you know, what's going on with elected officials who decide, you know, kind of pick and choose winners and losers, right? You as a business can be open, you as a business cannot, right? Like they're picking and choosing the losers and winners. And so as business owners, we don't have control over that. But what we do have control over is how we respond, how we adapt, how we pivot, right? I think concentrating on that and taking stock in what is it that you can control, what are elements in your business that you can adapt and pivot to, right? We saw it within certainly our food and beverage and restaurant communities when they closed down in-room restaurant dining, right? Or, you know, they said, yeah, you guys can't service guests inside of your restaurant. Well, what did they do? They started offering takeout. They started offering free delivery. Like, you have to find ways to pivot. Otherwise, you're just acquiescing. And, you know, that's not the mark of any successful entrepreneur I know. Everyone I know that's been able to get through 2020 and stay focused on expanding and continue to grow in 2021 has been very heavily focused on what are items that they can control and pivoting and modifying those to make sure that the business survives.
Now, who does this go back on? Is this like a state or federal thing, or who does this go back on?
Well, I think the onus should go back on us as the American people and small business owners. Like, put the trust in small business owners, right? Like, we don't want anyone to get sick who comes into our stores and our businesses. So we're going to take every precaution that's needed to make sure that our staff is safe, to make sure that our customers are safe, right? So don't tell me that I have to be closed and lock my door. Tell me, Lisa, you are responsible for making sure that anyone that comes in here is as safe as possible. And we'll make sure we got to do what we got to do, right? Whether they're masked up, gloved up, everything sanitized, you know, 6 feet apart, whatever the precautions are. I think small business owners and the American people care enough that they are going to do what's right, and that that big government isn't, it's not their role to tell us you aren't smart enough and capable enough to keep people safe, so you have to close your doors. You aren't allowed to be open because you're a non-essential business. If that's your business, it is an essential business.
Now, being from Chicago, what I really think hindered that was the riots.
Terrible. Yeah, I mean, how devastating, right? Like, you just got a chance to get your feet back under you and get your doors open again, right? And welcome customers. And then, you know, you had so much destruction happen. And it's just, it's hard. It's really, really hard.
Now, going towards 2021, is there any new entrepreneurial ventures you want to go in on, or are you just going to focus on what you are doing right now?
Well, you know, right now, especially with 2020, I'm just very focused with, along with my business partners, and making sure that all the companies, you know, not only survive, but thrive, right? And make sure that we are equipped to withstand through the rest of the year and setting ourselves up for a great 2021 and beyond. And then, of course, you know, for me as an entrepreneur, my ear's always open to new opportunity. You know, I think now more than ever, it's important for us to be supporting American small businesses and supporting American entrepreneurs. So, you know, angel investing is something that I've done for several years. And, you know, some of the funds have tightened up the belt a little bit, but there are new ones that are emerging now. And it's really exciting to see that there are more and more people gravitating towards entrepreneurship. And, you know, so my ear's always open to new opportunities. I love hearing about new ventures, new ideas. I really enjoy talking about that, and I love hearing about it. And so, I think anytime that you can stay focused on that, that also helps you to be optimistic, to realize that there's always light at the end of the tunnel for new innovation and entrepreneurship.
It's a little weird to see where entrepreneurship is now and how much attention it's getting.
You know, entrepreneurship, it's become trendy now, which is a little alarming, but it really will show, you know, who has the grit to persevere, and it'll separate, you know, the ones who are cut out for this for the long term and those who are just kind of a flash in the pan. Things like this, like this pandemic.
If you could end with a quote, Lisa.
You know, one quote that I've lived by for a long time, and it's always resonated with me, is that hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. You know, different ways to see opportunity, and you know, there's an argument sometimes that, you know, some people are lucky or they have this or they have this opportunity or whatever it is, but it's really what you make of it, right? And what you do with the tools that you have that are available to you. So any time that you can show that work ethic and you can out-hustle and outwork the person next to you, it doesn't matter maybe if that other person started 2, 3, 4 steps ahead, because if you can outwork them, you'll win every time. I've seen it happen so many different times, not only in examples in my life, but also with colleagues and friends and business partners. Having that work ethic, having that hustle, that's not something that's given to you. It's not something you can buy. It's your decision. It's your choice to have that or not, and to implement that or not. And so anytime that you can, that's what you've got to focus on.